Hello, and welcome to the Middle-earth podcast by the community of Lord of the Rings Rise to War, where we will discuss things like strategy, current in-game events, tips and tricks for beginners, our thoughts and ideas on the game, and more. In this episode, we will be giving a general overview on what you will first encounter when you open up the game, as well as some experiences you might have. My name is Xander of the Fellowship of the Eldar, and today I am joined by Elaine of the Eldar. Hello, Elaine.
Hello.
And we are also joined by Coda. Hello, Coda.
Hey, guys.
Okay, so now that we know everyone, let's get right into it. So first up, we have the faction system. This will be the first thing that you're introduced to when you join the game. You have two sides, evil or good, and we have Coda here who knows a lot about this. So let's hand it over to you, Coda.
Alrighty. So as far as evil and good go, you have four factions per side. So with the good side, we have Rohan, we've got Gondor, we have the elves, and we also have the dwarves. On the evil side, we have Isengard, Mordor, Angmar, and the men of Rûn, also known as the Eastlings. Each faction, inside good and evil, comes with a respective commander. So for example, we have Dwalin of the dwarves, we have Haldir of the elves, Eowyn of Rohan, and we also have Faramir for Gondor. And the evil factions will likely be available inside another beta test to test out the evil factions or on launch.
And in addition to that, we are also given 800 ale to choose another tier 1 commander. Would you go into the strengths of each of the good commanders, Coda?
Okay, so the strengths, they're usually reflective of the actual faction you choose. So early on, Eowyn gets bonuses to her cavalry based off speed. Now, their first unit is actually a mounted unit, which makes it really fast for them to cover and gain tiles early on in the game. And with Faramir through Gondor, he does have some combat targeted abilities, but he is half targeted towards tips when he's tier 1. We will get into respect leveling up at a later point, but you'll find tips available in the tavern, which we can also touch on a later basis. As we move over to Haldir from the elves, you'll find that he is more of a balanced hero. He does come with some evasion. He does come with some damage. He also does come with some healing. All on a very low scale, he's a great all-round hero. Moving over towards the dwarves, we have Dwalin. Now, Dwalin does come with a lot of sustain. He comes with great defenses, good heals, and a lot in the way of normal attack damage and physical bonuses. All round, each hero do have their perks and their weaknesses. It comes down to playstyle, what troops you put them with, and how you use them.
And in addition to all of the commanders, we also have the units, which are the main fighting force behind them. Coda, could you touch on those for a bit?
Alrighty, so with each faction, you will have three units available fairly early on. Respectively as well, per faction, you have one special unit that only you can access within that faction. Each unit has strengths. You will have a ranged unit, a melee unit, and generally some kind of mounted unit. They all have their bonuses. Each faction will start off with one specific unit. They'll be able to tier those up, and respectively, they will have a ranger, a melee unit, and typically a mounted unit. Every faction has their own special unit, which is a tier 4 unit, one tier above the max. You can get the rest, but we'll come back to more details about these units at a later date.
And another thing that you will encounter when you first log in is a random spawn and also some special terrain items. So I'll hand it over to Elaine to touch on those.
Perfect. So when you first start off, you're going to find yourself randomly spawned into one of your faction's regions. Each of these will have, of course, different unique aspects to them. But one thing that they all share unique to Rise to War from Lord of the Rings, unlike many of the other massively multiplayer online role-playing games that you'll find on the Android App Store these days, is that they have randomly appearing or strategic unique tiles that are not about resources and not about collecting, but can be used very effectively. We'll go over some of each of them here and how they can be used functionally. The first and easiest ones are tunnels and crossings. which if you need to get across a river, through a mountain, these guys are the easiest ones to come across, and their functions are fairly simple and straightforward. They're the easiest at level 17, being able to take them fairly easy in the early game. Then we have new ones called Ruins, which are basically forts, which we'll learn a little bit about later, able to expand your unit's range and where they can go to, but pre-made, so you don't have to spend the cost, you just have to take them initially, and already level up to be able to hold extra units, very useful. Then we have Effigies and Mysterious Springs, which are a little bit more mysterious. I'll leave the finding out of what happens to them with you, but know that they can be very useful and very interesting, especially when you take one out for yourself for the first time. But remember that when you're taking some of these new unique tiles, you want to be cautious when sending out your armies, because it's very easy, if you're not sending out at least the same power level or higher, that your own army can get completely destroyed, and nothing's more disheartening than coming back empty-handed. Now, we also have, when encountering these unique tiles, the different types of damage that you can deal with your armies, because this is not a simple game of attack, defeat, go home. We have two different types of power level. When you have your commanders, as spoken very well about by Coda here, and their unit combinations that you can put them with, they both combine to create a power level. Now, each of these commander and units have their own stats, including attack power, be that melee or range, and in addition to that, siege power. This is unique to Lord of the Rings Rise of War as well, because general damage, such as melee or range damage, is good for taking out defenders, for defeating the individual enemies, or for sweeping. But the siege damage is for defeating the structural defenses that you find on larger structures, such as keeps, or those other ones we talked about, tunnels and crossings, ruins, effigies, or mysterious springs. The initial attack power takes out the defenders, of course, taking out all the guys on the walls there, the crossbowmen, the archers, any of the foot soldiers that come at you. And then, of course, you've got to lay out the siege. You've got to take out the armies and starve them out for a while. And so you need to weaken the structural defenses for quite a long time, reducing your army's stamina and possibly even preventing yourself from going home before the whole battle's over. But if you manage to starve the enemies out by defeating enough of the structure's defensive power, then you're all good. You can go in and take that structure for yourself and your fellowship, continuing the rise to war.
Another thing that you'll be introduced to when you first join in is the concept of fellowships, as well as allies versus enemies. Now, in this case, you will be presented with an option to either join or create a fellowship. It is recommended that if you have no previous experience, that you join a fellowship, as there are many people who will be able to help you in that fellowship, especially if you join a large and active one. Some fellowships will have joining requirements, for example, a certain energy production requirement, which you will need to gain by possessing tiles before you can join. However, a lot of fellowships will be happy to take you almost immediately. Some will require an application, and it is recommended that you wait at least a little bit to have a response for that application. However, if you really feel like it, you can always go to one that doesn't. Fellowships hold a lot of extra benefits, including both the collaborative aspect, where you are able to talk in the chat. Usually you will have a more experienced leader of the fellowship and a few confidants, which are essentially commanders within that fellowship, who are just under the leader and will also be there to help you out. These people will regularly organize events for taking things like keeps or other places that are of strategic significance. In a faction, you will also be able to have your building time sped up by the other members of the faction using the help menu. It is encouraged that you also use this help menu to provide help, and you will receive an award of silver coins for doing so, which can be spent in the fellowship shop. In terms of telling if someone is an ally, an enemy, or a member of your fellowship, the possessed tiles that you will encounter throughout the game have a specific code of color. These colors are red for enemy, blue for members of your fellowship, and purple for general allies who are members of your faction. You can betray these people, but generally it is recommended that you don't, simply because of the fact that they are a member of your faction, and you are all working together to the common cause of being able to beat the game together. Another thing to keep in mind is that your faction members probably won't take too kindly to this form of betrayal, and may have some consequences in mind for you. Another factor of betrayal is that it will only last for 1 hour, so keep that in mind if you are planning to actually betray someone. And that is all for today, so thank you so much for listening, and join us next time for prioritization in early stages of gameplay. This is Xander of the Eldar.
This is Elayan of the Eldar.
And this is Coda. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you then.